All right, everyone, welcome back to the We Just Talk Wrestling podcast. Kyle, Dylan, and Christian back at it with another episode doing WrestleMania trivia this week. Make sure to follow us on all social media platforms. Give us a 5-star rating if you could. So, Dylan, what happened in WWE this week?
Yeah, so let's start with Monday Night Raw because my rundown will feature probably a pretty lengthy discussion on what happened on SmackDown. So, we kicked off Raw with Rhea Ripley celebrating her win at Elimination Chamber. Out comes Becky Lynch, who won her chamber match and is set to face Rhea at WrestleMania. Becky was then attacked by Nia Jax, who is still lingering in frame. Kyle, did you say you wanted this turned into a triple threat, or am I making that up?
For what match, I'm sorry?
Rhea, Becky, and Nia. Were you campaigning for Nia to be involved at Mania?
Yeah, I think also Liv should be at as well.
Oh, you want it to be Fatal 4-Way?
Yeah.
We can talk about that.
Liv's in the story. Yeah, I mean, Liv's in the story.
We can talk about that later.
And I'd have Nia win.
No, right. Well, absolutely not.
Stop. The only one who makes story sense is Liv, and I don't think she should be the one to beat Rhea. But Rhea's we could talk about that. Yeah, yep.
It doesn't matter who she faces, she's winning. Yep.
Yeah, we'll talk about Mania at the end of the show, though. Sami Zayn defeated Shinsuke Nakamura with the Helluva Kick. I don't know if you guys caught this. You know, it's been known that Kevin Dunn was let go or fired or walked away, and the production value has gone up. Did you see, coming back from commercial, the cameraman, like, coming down the aisle?
Mm-hmm.
Like that shot, that was insanely cool.
Yeah, that was really, that was really
and
cool.
The angle that we got of the Helluva Kick was also just very, very well shot. Imperium defeated New Day in the street fight. A lot of fun stuff happened here, as we kind of expected. Nia Jax did defeat Liv Morgan via disqualification because Becky Lynch got involved in that match. Also, Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark defeated Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell after Baszler locked Hartwell in the Kirifuda Clutch. We have some bloodline stuff to talk about. So after Cody Rhodes' match with Grayson Waller, which he did successfully defeat Grayson Waller in the main event, the match itself, there wasn't really too much drama. It was kind of, we knew what was going to happen here. Anyway, after the match, Paul Heyman comes out with security, basically telling Cody to take back his challenge of The Rock or else. He's warning him, blah, 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 blah. And then at one point, Paul Heyman pulls out his phone. You know, we've gotten used to this, where he says, call Roman Reigns. Well, now, guys, Paul Heyman has a second iPhone with the Brahma Bull on the phone case. I don't know if you saw that. And he's trying to call The Rock. That led Cody to say, the bloodline is not hunting me. I'm hunting the bloodline, and then proceeded to beat the shit out of a bunch of the makeshift security guys with a chair.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah. Also, post-Raw, this doesn't have anything to do with the show, but after Raw went off the air, Cody did a live gender reveal for a couple in the audience.
So I saw really that.
Cool. That was really cool stuff. But let's move on to SmackDown. Let's get through some of these matches real quick. Tiffany Stratton defeated Naomi in a rather quick match with the prettiest moonsault ever. Bayley and Dakota Kai faced the Kabuki Warriors. This match was apparently for the titles, or at least that's what they said on commentary. However, the match ended in a no contest. Nobody wants to talk about this because Dakota Kai has turned her back on Bayley and to jump Bayley, with the final shot being the three of them holding Bayley in agony as Io kind of rubs the title in her face. I thought this was a very, very well done segment. Not super crazy that the turn happened this fast. I definitely would have let it bleed out a little more closer to Mania, maybe for the whole month of March. But I'm sure Kyle has an opinion. We'll get to it in a little bit. Bron Breakker defeated Zion Quinn in like 4 seconds, hit a spear. That was it. Braun moves with a lot of intensity. And even though this wasn't a great showcase, I think Bron Breakker is going to be a lot of fun to watch on the main roster, especially with the flourishing United States title picture. So look for him.
It does make that. It does make that spear look even more insane. That's one thing.
Oh my God.
His spear is awesome.
The way he moves in the ring, the way he runs the ropes. Like I said, look for him post-Mania to be heavily involved in the U.S. title picture. I think it's too soon now, Let them get some of these cheap wins and really build them up. I think they got something there. Carlito defeated Santos Escobar in a street fight of their own. Out comes Rey Mysterio, who helped Carlito win. Rey hits the 619. I did not know Rey was going to be cleared before Mania. All these things saying he was going to face Santos at Mania. I'm like, dude, there's no way. Rey's not going to be ready. He looked ready to me, guys.
Yeah.
Also, Randy Orton defeated Austin Theory in the main event. Very, very cool way to hit the RKO. Theory goes for that rolling pop-up drop kick that he does through the ropes, which is just insane. Instead gets caught with an RKO. And then Kevin Owens saved Randy Orton from a post-match beatdown from Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Also, throughout the show, randomly seen in backstage segments, LA Knight was walking around the entire arena with a steel chair looking for AJ Styles. He was finally stopped and interviewed, and he said he was on the hunt for AJ Styles. Instead, he got Nick Aldis, who told he said that he informed AJ to stay home. And LA Knight was like, well, that's cool. You're not going to stop me from beating the hell out of him. I'll go to his house if I got to. I'm taking this chair with me, too.
Oh, God.
And he said that he's going to have it custom fit as a hat for AJ Styles, basically meaning I'm going to back the chair. I don't know if you guys damage control thing that was happening when Dakota was walking back as they're walking, where they have a face off with Jade. There's LA Knight just walking past them with this beat up, bent up chair looking for AJ. It was a really, really cool touch the whole night. But let's talk about what kicked off the show, what took up almost the first whole hour of SmackDown. Out comes Roman Reigns. Roman is not getting the crowd reaction that he's wanting from the fans. And he says, look, I've fulfilled my obligation. They told me I just had to appear. I appeared. I'm leaving. Goodbye. As he's about to leave, Paul Heyman says, well, you can't leave yet. There's still business to attend to after this commercial break. We come back from commercial. Yes, this segment was so long, there was a commercial break in between. Out comes The Rock, and he proceeds to cut a 25-minute promo on the town of Glendale being full of crackheads and meth heads. That was basically his that's the one thing he just couldn't stop repeating over and over. I don't know why.
He loved doing that.
It got very, very annoying, very, very fast. But let's get to the meat of the promo. At the end of the day, The Rock says that he's not facing Cody one-on-one. Instead, he has a counter offer, and he wants to have a tag match during the main event of night one, being Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns and The Rock. And it's being dubbed as the biggest tag team match of all time. This and that, the stipulation that is being attached to the match is if the team of Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes win, then Cody and Roman is a true one-on-one match. They will have it in the contract that if the bloodline interferes, Roman loses or whatever, they will make sure that no one interferes and that it's a true one-on-one between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns during night two. If The Rock and Roman Reigns loses, then Cody and Roman's match becomes bloodline rules. And what that means, as we've seen in the past, it's basically no holds barred, anything goes, which means it basically be Cody against the entire bloodline. The Rock also said that if they decide to not accept the challenge, then The Rock would make sure that Cody does not win the WWE Championship. So basically, there's no choice. You guys have to accept this match to even have a shot at a fair fight. It was also said that Cody and Seth would give their answer to the challenge next week on SmackDown, in which The Rock is advertised to be at as well. So, my friends, I have a bone to pick with Kyle very, very briefly. So Kyle runs our Twitter page, for those who don't know. He claimed that this match had no stakes. Didn't I just go over the stipulation of this match?
It has stakes, but someone's getting, but okay, here's the thing. It does have stakes. I'm glad they did it. But who's going to take the pin here?
Rock.
Okay, so I have a very hard time believing it's going to be The Rock. Just because with all of his power, my only fear is that Rollins loses that and loses. So you bury Rollins at WrestleMania. Like, you have him get pinned. You have him lose to McIntyre. In his grand scheme of things, it's not. But, like, I think he's worked too hard this year to take two losses in two nights.
Right.
So I still think it should be just Cody pinning The Rock one-on-one. So, I mean, remember, Seth just got cleared. So this is the match from, remember, the report that came out. This is what The Rock wanted. He wanted the stag mm-hmm. match to happen. I personally would have The Rock and Roman win, though, because I think it has Cody overcome the odds.
Yeah.
With the whole bloodline rules. I'm still not a big fan of it, but The Rock's going to get what he wants.
All right, Christian, real quick, what do you think?
It's just pointless to me, to be honest with you. I don't think you need to do that to have a stipulation. They could just come out with something saying that the bloodline is not to be involved after last year. I mean, do we really need this match to happen for that to be a possible stipulation? No. No, we don't. And either way, I think it's a loss either way, no matter who wins that tag match. So, I think it's kind of stupid.
See, this is where I kind of divide from you guys. We knew no matter what, The Rock was wrestling at WrestleMania. There was no way around that. You know, they wanted to do Rock Roman. Thank God they changed their mind. But if we're going to get The Rock, I think this is the best case scenario. I don't want to see The Rock in a one-on-one match. And the way they have built this story, I think a tag match makes the most sense. I'm not crazy the idea of Rock and Cody one-on-one, because I fear that The Rock would not lose a one-on-one match. It's just my opinion.
He'd have to.
I like the idea of a tag match because, to answer your question, Christian, why don't they just come out and say, hey, the bloodline can't get involved? Well, I don't know if you've been watching the last 3 years. The bloodline always gets involved. You've booked yourself in a corner by saying, we've never done that before, why do it now? So idea that Cody has to earn that.
Well, do the stipulation of if the bloodline gets involved, Roman's stripped of the title no matter what.
Again, they could have done that the last 3 years, and they haven't. I think this is just they've shot themselves in the foot with the way they've done it. And in storyline purposes, it doesn't make sense to just randomly come out and go, hey, you guys can't do this, even though we've kind of just turned a blind eye the last 3 years at you guys doing this all the time. So I like the idea that Cody has to earn that. However, I keep flipping in my mind back and forth how this goes down. On one hand, I want Seth and Cody to win. Let it be a true one-on-one, because Cody can have the story when he does beat Roman. Hey, I beat you fair and square. I beat you one-on-one. I told you last year I could do it if it wasn't for your family. And then he proves that he did it. On the flip side, like Kyle said, I could totally see the angle of Cody overcoming 5-on-1 and just being Superman. However, we didn't like that when they did it with Cena so many times. I think Seth and Cody have to win. And like Christian said, the only person who can afford to take a pin is The Rock. That's how I think it goes down. And
he will take a pin?
I think Cody pins.
Remember, it all comes down to see what The Rock wants.
Yes, but here's the thing. No one in that match other than The Rock can take a pin. Like you said, Seth can't lose twice, and the assumption is that he's going to lose his title.
I think he's going to be the one to take it. I really don't think he should.
So Seth and Roman's not taking a pin. Roman's definitely not taking a pin. That leaves The Rock and Cody. If you have Cody take the pin, does that hurt his momentum going into night two?
Absolutely.
The only one who could take the pin is The Rock. That's why I say, if this is what we're going to get, I agree with Christian in saying that The Rock has to be the one with his
shoulders. Oh, he should. I don't think he's going
to
want to, though.
There's no other – but I'm saying there's no other way this can go. There is one answer.
What if Rollins did lose? And then he lost night two.
That would ruin everything Seth has done the last – year.
But what if Cody wins night two? Would you still be okay with it? So Rollins loses both nights, but
no,
Cody ends up winning
the title. I don't want it at the expense of someone who
this is what The Rock wants, man. I'm just saying
can't afford it. So
Triple H needs to tell The Rock to back up and shut up.
There's nothing he's gonna do.
Speaking of, I'm sure you guys caught this, but during The Rock's 40-minute promo, he goes on and on to say that he has power, that he's the boss, no one is above him, and that he calls the shots around WWE. And then did you guys hear what the crowd started chanting very, very loudly?
Triple H?
They chanted Triple H at him. I'm sure that had to put a smile on that man's face back there.
Put a smile on mine, yeah.
Yeah, put a smile on mine. I'm like, hell yeah, these people, they recognize whose show this is. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I think at the end of the day, whether we want to believe it or not, I think Triple H might get the final say in how this ends. That's just me. Maybe being hopeful and optimistic. But speaking of hopeful and optimistic, is it time for AEW now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great transition.
Yeah. Yeah. So this week was AEW's go-home shows.
Yes, for their big pay-per-view.
Yeah, really big pay-per-view for a Revolution tomorrow night. Let's see how well they did their final building. So we'll start with Rampage. Claudio Castagnoli defeated Ruggiero.
Next.
Yeah.
Riho defeated Trisha Dora, and Magnus defeated Matt Sydal in the main event. There was a squash match nobody cared about. Let's go to Dynamite. So before I do the match rundown, this was obviously Sting's final Dynamite. There was a segment at the end of the show with the Young Bucks. Darby Allin comes out to attack him. And they have Sting do the classic coming out of the Raptors. I thought that was really cool for his final Dynamite.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, well, loved every second of it. I got my opinions on this whole Sting thing. I'll touch on another time, but yeah, we'll see. So let's do the match rundown now. There were only 4 matches on Dynamite. So we started off with the Blackpool Combat Club defeating FTR and Eddie Kingston in Trios tag action. This match ran ridiculously long. It was, Kyle, 38 minutes or something like that?
Dude, it literally, I'm not kidding, it felt like it took up the whole first hour.
Oh, dude, it was.
Yeah,
I'd rather watch the first hour be wrestling than The Rock calling people crackheads, but go ahead.
Yeah, but this match was dragged.
I don't know. I really like the Rock segment, but
I remember texting Kyle and was like, this match should have been over 10 minutes ago. Yeah, anyways.
So should have The Rock's promo.
Well, it was supposed to. Literally, it was supposed to, but blame it on The Rock.
Yeah, but Orange Cassidy defeated Nick Wayne in a match for the international title. Sky Blue defeated Chris Statlander again. Second time in 2 weeks.
The heel turn is coming for Chris Statland.
Hopefully, because she needs some. She just lost 2 matches in a row. Mm-hmm. And Chris Jericho defeated Atlantis Jr. after he asked for this match. Just due out of respect, because he wrestled Atlantis Jr.'s father. I thought this was pretty cool.
Yep.
But other than that, that's AEW this week. Really not a ton to talk about. They really didn't build towards anything.
Yeah, they built to what they wanted to build. So there was an opening promo on Dynamite, actually a pretty good one with Paige. You know, he's faking the injury and everything. So they're definitely building towards that. Samoa Joe's winning tomorrow at Revolution. There's no reason why. If it's not going to be the main event, you don't want Swerve to win and not have it be the main event. So I think
Paige
whole
is taking the pin.
Exactly. I think this whole thing is Swerve maybe is about to win, maybe with the house call or something like that, and then and then Paige makes sure it doesn't. That's kind of been the whole story. It's kind of like Paige doesn't really care about the title. He just doesn't want Swerve to win it. The Sting stuff, I think the Sting match is going to be really good. I think Darby's going to kill himself for it to be good. So keep your eye on that one. No Toni Storm, Deonna Purrazzo on
this
episode.
Which I found very odd.
Very odd. The build, I got to give them credit. They have tried. They have tried with this. I think the match is going to be good. And if it's not, this whole thing's for nothing. Because there's 2 good wrestlers. And you got to make sure Tony kind of switches up her moveset a little bit. Because when she wrestles in this gimmick, it's not very good. The matches aren't very good. But Takeshka and Ospreay, I mean, they're going to absolutely tear the house down.
They had a stare down, too.
I think we're going to talk about AEW, a certain match that was changed. So maybe at the end of the show, so we'll save that one. FTR is back. Do you guys know that FTR is facing the Blackpool Combat Club again?
Yeah.
At Revolution with nothing on the line.
Yeah.
It was just a way
to fill the card.
Yeah, it was just to fill the card. And then apparently Danielson's facing ice cold Eddie Kingston. He is ice cold. What, Dylan, what has he done for that title?
I can't remember the last time Eddie Kingston defended the title. I actually forgot Eddie Kingston was champion for a little bit until like a few weeks ago. I'm like, oh, fuck.
And, man, I really do think Jay White is kicking himself right now. I really do. I think he's seizing a lot of guys in WWE. He's like, damn, man, I could be doing that.
What do you mean he's part of the Bang Bang Scissor Gang?
Dude, that is bad. You want to talk, dude? I don't know if there's been many people that have dropped off like the Acclaimed have. It's sad because they're good and it's not their fault, but
they got hot that one year, and then since then, just nothing.
Literally nothing. Nothing at all. You know, there's some pretty good build, it's kind of like a Vince card in a way. With what they want you to care about the build, everything else is just kind of filler. So I am going to buy Revolution, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Dylan, are you buying Revolution?
I mean, why should I care about it? They don't care about it.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
that's kind of.
I just want to see Sting's last match. So, yeah. But
I'm with Dylan though. They don't really care about it. Neither do I. So
I mean, yeah. I don't really
highlights of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys ready to move on?
Yep.
All right. Just want to check something there. All right. So this week I'll be covering the NWA in October after Billy Corgan thought it was a good idea to have people do cocaine on a live show. It was announced that the NWA did indeed get their CW streaming deal. On February 21st, Billy Corgan and the National Wrestling Alliance announced an exclusive streaming deal that will include multiple rogue programs, including NWA Power and an unscripted series starring Corgan. Additionally, NWA Hard Times 2024 will premiere on the CW as future episodes of NWA Power streaming on both the CW's website and the CW app per Fightful. Remember, they have a lot of talent on that roster. Couple guy, EC3, Matt Cardona's there a lot. Natalie Markova, pretty empowered. Colby Carino, pretty remarkable names there. So, Dylan, starting with you, do you think the NWA has a good enough base to get people to watch them on the CW on a consistent basis?
No. And I don't mean that in necessarily a bad way. Also, to my knowledge, the deal is just on the CW app, right?
In the website, actually, I believe.
Yeah. So originally it was supposed to be on TV. And as you mentioned, Corgan thought cocaine was cool and shot themselves in the foot. That is going to be a much bigger deal than I think people are playing it up to be. Because the CW is in every household, to my knowledge. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not everyone streams on their app. So I feel like now they're going to be very difficult to find. They can have the roster, and I think they do have talent on that roster, but until they're managed properly, that's what's going to hold them back the most.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that also, we were supposed to go to that show.
We were supposed to.
Would have seen cocaine live.
And the craziest thing where we wanted to sit two rows over, literally two tables over from where they did the cocaine spot.
They would have asked us to be extras, bro.
Yeah.
They would have been like, you guys want to do Bumps of Coke? And Kyle's like, I'll do anything.
Yeah, I'd do it.
I'll take the spot. I'll take the spot. I don't care. Give me the cocaine.
Sounds like a good time to be honest. We just talk wrestling podcasts.
And we're just,
yeah.
Okay, it's us in our shirts just doing cocaine.
That would have been a great look for the show.
For the record, none of the three of us do cocaine. Anyone who's listening,
and so, will not do cocaine.
None of the three of us do drugs in general. Don't worry, people.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't.
At least some people don't.
No.
Okay. Anyway,
let's move on.
Yeah.
All right. Thoughts on that before we move on?
Yeah, I mean the CW. It's a really small network. Not a lot of people tune into it on a daily basis on, like, the actual TV itself. I don't hardly watch it. I haven't watched that since I was, like, a kid, so... Yeah, it's kind of tough. They got stuck with that deal, but... Hey, at least they got something.
Yeah.
Well, no, the original deal was going to be much better than what they got stuck with.
Oh, they got stuck with it because it's their fault.
Yeah, okay.
They were supposed to be on TV. Now they're online only.
Oh, okay.
Because the network was afraid putting them on TV with sponsors that shit would happen.
I see. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Well, I mean, they kicked themselves in the foot then.
So. Yep, that's what they do.
Absolutely. Indies time. Are you guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. All right, this week I'll be highlighting Championship International Wrestling based out of Waterloo, Indiana. Talking about some of the action, starting with Kelvin Coco beating LJ Lawrence. Caden Monahan beat June Hato by disqualification to retain the CIW national title. Savage Love beat Motown Mayhem to retain their CIW tag team titles. In the main event, Malice retained the CIW heavyweight title against Michael Elgin, capping off one of my favorite promotions I've seen on the indies in some time. My MVP of the night does go to someone I'm very familiar with, and that is indeed Michael Elgin. He's still insanely good pro wrestler. Did great things at ROH Impact. Some out of the ring accusations kind of halted his career, but he's an absolute animal. And really like how he sells like death for these indie wrestlers. So go check out Championship International Wrestling on YouTube.
Awesome stuff. We'll be sure to tag both the promotion and Kyle's MVP on social media like we do every single week. So you guys can give them a like and a follow. And if there's any promotions or wrestlers that you would like Kyle to highlight as part of the indie segment, please send your suggestions our way. Waterloo, Indiana? Never heard of them.
Never heard. I wonder if that's north. I don't know. But
feels like it's south.
Yeah, I was actually just going to say that. But all right, Superstar Spotlight time. Dylan, what do you got?
All right. So my Superstar Spotlight is someone who we've seen featured very heavily in WWE's women's tag team division. Katana Chance, or as Kyle and I remember her, Casey Catanzaro. So Casey Catanzaro claimed her big claim to fame pre-WWE was being a regular competitor on American Ninja Warrior, I believe for multiple seasons, where she had quite a bit of success and became a fan favorite. She tried out for WWE back in 2017, and they signed her practically instantly. Did she compete in the Mae Young Classic in 2018?
I believe so.
If I'm not mistaken,
yeah.
I forget which year she competed in, but she was eventually eliminated in the second round, whichever tournament it was, my apologies, by Rhea Ripley. We know how well she's done for herself since the Mae Young Classic. Mm. Casey Catanzaro then was assigned to the NXT brand, where she kind of just wrestled. Kyle, how would you describe mid-card? I would say.
For what?
For NXT, the time that she was there.
Yeah, mid-card, lower mid-card, they were just stacked.
Yeah,
they were stacked.
Yeah, the women's division in NXT at that time. So when she was there, not to spoil anything for Christian, but I think Rhea was still there. Bianca might have still been there.
Yeah, all the big
names. It was just a stacked roster in that women's division. So, but she eventually got to the main roster, debuting in the Royal Rumble. Where she was then eliminated by Rhea Ripley again. They seem to cross paths quite a bit. In a sense, found her footing in WWE as a tag team, teaming alongside Caden Carter, where they were briefly tag team champions and are still prominently featured on WWE television to this date. So, yeah, Katana Chance or Casey Catanzaro is my spotlight this week.
All right. Christian, go ahead.
So my superstar spotlight this week is actually somebody Dylan highlighted in his WWE rundown. I'm giving it to Bron Breakker. He is obviously a son of Rick Steiner, and yes, we have only seen three main roster matches, This guy, he seems like he's got the tools. He debuted in, I know this is going to make Kyle sick, but he debuted when NXT was rebranded to NXT 2.0, where WWE kind of put the rocket ship on him down there in what was basically being rebranded to developmental. He carried the NXT title many times. He carried a lot of other titles down there. He is currently, I think, I don't know, somebody correct me on this one wrong, is the NXT tag team champion with Baron Corbin.
Yep.
So he's kind of doing double duty right now. He's on SmackDown. He's on NXT. He looks like a true workhorse. And if used right, I highly expect him to be in the Money in the Bank picture in 2025.
I can see it. Yeah, Bron Breakker is a prime example. Whether we agreed with the change, and I know Kyle was very, very against the change of NXT.
He still is.
Yeah, yeah, still, I still is. But Bron Breakker is kind of the example of what they were going for when they wanted to turn it to simply developmental, develop their own talent, develop their own stars, and see how it pans out. I think Bron Breakker is going to pan out very well for WWE. I look for him to be a major player in the mid-card for SmackDown post-WrestleMania. Bron was the bright spot of what was a very, at times, not very good NXT. I think it's gotten better now, the times I've watched it, but Bron's great. He's going to be great, too.
No, Bron is really good. I still would rather have the NXT and rather have Adam Cole there, but, you know, that's just me.
So, Kyle, real quick, do you think he would have fit under the Triple H regime? I think he would have.
Yeah, I do think he would have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he would have been fine in black and gold. Because there are some guys that he would have been okay with. Yeah.
From the little, I mean, and again, I know I've only done a sample size of black and gold. It does seem like he would fit, yeah. So.
Yeah, no, he would fit. Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to get to mine real quick. I won't take too much time, but mine also goes to someone in WWE. And that goes to Raquel Gonzalez. We need to talk about the toughness of Raquel. And that was on full display for those who are not aware of what she has been dealing with. It's mast cell activation syndrome, MCAS. So randomly, she'll get hives, swelling, difficulty breathing, etc. She had a fantastic showing, I thought, in Elimination Chamber, beat Chelsea Green on Raw. It was also revealed that she almost missed the event in Australia because of the illness was getting worse. But she just said, you know what, I'm not missing it. I'm going to tough through it. And she literally fighting through the pain to entertain us. So I thought she deserved the spot this week. So Raquel Gonzalez gets it from me. So, I saw the pictures and everything. My goodness, dude, that was rough. But,
yeah,
shout out to her. She got through it and everything. So we're very glad for her. You guys ready to move on?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, all right, everyone. Now it's time for our WrestleMania trivia segment. Each of us will have 6 questions, and whoever gets the least amount of questions right has a punishment. This will range from WrestleMania 20 to present day and can range from literally anything. So let's see the creativity here. Christian will be answering my questions. I'll be answering Dylan's questions, and Dylan will be answering Christian's questions. So I can also remind you guys once we get a little bit closer. If there are any tiebreakers, we'll do an improv 7th question, and then it'll go down to a coin flip if that doesn't settle anything there. Here's the catch. So let's say Dylan loses. Next week, he's going to lose his WWE segment. I'm going to fill in for him, and he's going to do a recap of an old WWE show in its place. So in basic terms, the loser loses their segment, and next week, as picked by my dad, will review May 21st, 2018 episode of Monday Night Raw on Peacock. So that'll be your segment next week. So details on a potential wheel will be decided later, but there are real stakes here, so none of us want to lose. Remember, one of your questions is worth 2 points, so just make sure the person knows that when you ask it. But you guys have any thoughts before we head in?
Dylan, you had a fact for us.
Yeah, I was waiting for Kyle's rundown to be done.
So what do you think? May 21st, 2018? I have no idea what happens on the show.
I'm trying to remember 2018 Raw. I don't think I was watching much of those episodes. I think that was still the YouTube era, Kyle. I'm not sitting through 3 hours of this. I'll watch the highlights.
It is on Peacock, apparently. So if my dad booked it, then it's got to be something great.
Yep.
Peacock has like every Raw and SmackDown like ever, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I don't know if they have that. Nah, I'm not going to get into that episode of Raw.
Yeah.
There was a certain tribute episode I'm sure is not on Peacock.
Yeah. I remember that one. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So are we ready?
Yep. Yeah, go to your fun fact.
All right. So here's my WrestleMania fun fact for you guys. I found this during my research. Fun fact. WrestleMania 37 is the first WrestleMania since 2002 to not feature John Cena in any capacity. It's the first Mania since 2012 to not feature Brock Lesnar. And it is the first WrestleMania since, I had to go back and like research this, since 1988 to not feature either Shawn Michaels, Triple H, or The Undertaker in any match. Triple H was featured on TV during the intro, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the first one since, I had to go back and look that up. So that would have been Shawn Michaels with Marty Jannetty. So that would have been the Rockers performing at Mania that year. Just think of that. Since 1988, neither one of those three competed at WrestleMania. First time since 88. That was an insane stat. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go. I'm ready. I'm ready to lose.
That's great.
Yeah, we I got some banger questions. I know Christian and Dylan does. So basically the order is Christian, you're going to ask Dylan. Dylan, you're gonna ask me, and then I'm gonna ask Christian. So Christian, you start, then Dylan to me.
Okay, so I'm up. I just
you're up. You asked Dylan. Yep.
All right, Dylan. Pretty easy question. Number one should be a layup for you. Who is not undefeated at WrestleMania?
It's just so stupid.
Is it A, AJ Lee, B, Chuck Palumbo, C, Little Beaver, or
who
D,
the wait.
Chris Masters?
Who's Little Beaver? Who the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Well, I guess we got an answer.
Yep.
Who is not undefeated at WrestleMania? Correct. So I'm running through AJ's. Does it count if AJ was a manager, or does she have to be in ring?
In ring, like okay, all my guys are in ring. I looked in-ring. Up a website where it was in ring only.
Okay, all right. Because that helps. AJ, I feel like, is undefeated. I think she might be 2-0, 3-0.
I don't remember, man.
Chris Masters. And then there's Little Beaver, and who was the last one? Chuck Palumbo?
Chuck Palumbo.
Dude, there's no way.
I don't even remember Chuck Palumbo being on WrestleMania.
I don't either.
I don't. Although I've never heard of this name, Little Beaver.
He's a wild card, man.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to go... Oh, fuck. I'm going to say Chuck Palumbo. Final answer.
You are incorrect.
Of course I am.
AJ Lee is 2-0. Little okay. Beaver is 1-0. Okay. Chuck Palumbo is 1-0. And Chris Masters is 0-1 at WrestleMania.
What match was Little Beaver in?
I don't know.
I guess it didn't matter in the grand scheme of things because he wasn't the answer.
But... I don't know who this person is.
I don't either.
This is someone's favorite wrestler, and I'm shitting on him right now.
Yeah, dude. Someone's going to write in pissed.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's definitely a banger way to start. So,
Dylan, you thought you escaped that question, didn't you? I told Kyle as soon as I heard we were doing this, I was doing that as my first question.
Fucking
all right. All right, Dylan, go ahead with your first question.
Who am I asking? I'm asking you, right?
Yes, so I'm answering yours.
All right, Kyle, this one is a true fucking layup, unlike that bullshit before. True or false, WrestleMania 20 was the last WrestleMania to not be in a stadium.
Fuck. WrestleMania 20?
Mm-hmm.
Where was it? Wait. In a stadium?
To not be in a stadium. So with that, WrestleMania 20 was not in a stadium.
Okay, so WrestleMania 20 must have been, was it at MSG?
It was.
Okay, so the question is, was this was the last the, one?
Was it the last one to not be in a stadium?
To not be in a stadium. I'm trying to think of where 21 was. True. I don't fucking know. I don't know where 21 was.
It is actually false.
I don't know where 50.
So 21 was held in LA. It was at the Staples Center. And 22 was held in Chicago, I believe, at the Allstate Arena. So 23, since 23, WrestleMania has been in a stadium outside of 36, where it was at the PC.
I would never have gotten that, literally.
So 22 is actually the last one to not be in a stadium.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I can't believe I remember that it was an MSG. That was
It was an MSG. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know why I know that, but
what main evented?
WrestleMania 20?
You don't have to say it. It's fine. It was supposed to trap you.
It wasn't Austin Rock.
Nope.
Was it? Did it involve Kurt Angle?
Nope.
What was it?
It was Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and
Owen Bennett, right?
And Chris Redacted.
There was a really good match on there. Was that Christian and Jericho? At 20?
I believe that was at 19. I don't think Jericho was with the company at the time of 20. I'm not 100% certain.
Okay. Anyway. We'll look at that at a later date. All right. Well, everyone's 0-1 here, so let's see if Christian can break that mold.
Let's see.
All right, Christian, you thought you were out of this question. Which of the following wrestlers have won a match at WrestleMania? So there's only one on here that have won a match. Everyone else has not won a match.
It doesn't matter undefeated, right, or not.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. So there's one person that's 1-0, and the other three are 0-1.
Okay.
Is it A, the Boogeyman, B, Rosa Mendez, C, Shannon Moore, or D, Brad Maddox, Maddox, Brad Maddox, Mad Maddox, Maddox, Brad Maddox?
Wait, so the question was who has won?
Yes, there is one person on here has won a match.
I know the answer.
It is I think it's a pretty easy question.
I know the answer. I got it locked in. I want to steal it.
This is stupid, by the way.
I know exactly what match it is, too.
So you said the Boogeyman, Shannon Moore, Brad Maddox.
And Rosa Mendez.
Brad Maddox, Maddox, Brad.
Brad Maddox, Maddox, Brad, Maddox, Maddox, Brad.
I watched a WrestleMania where Rosa won. I swear I seen her win a match. I don't ever really recall the Boogeyman wrestling at WrestleMania.
What about Brad Maddox, Maddox, Brad Maddox?
Shannon Moore, I don't remember much about. I would assume he hasn't won.
That's Dylan's guy, Shannon Moore.
Yeah. Yep. I think it's between Brad Maddox and Rosa Mendez.
Okay.
I'm going to go Rosa Mendez, final answer.
Unfortunately, Christian, that is incorrect. The wrestler that we're looking for is the Boogeyman.
Yep.
Boogeyman won at WrestleMania 22, I believe, as he beat Booker T and Sharmell in an intergender handicap match.
What? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure at one point Booker T hid behind Sharmell because he was afraid.
So that happened. So, all right, back to Christian, 0-1 the piece.
All right, Dylan, here's your next question. Can you tell me what the tagline was for WrestleMania 22?
WrestleMania 22. WrestleMania 22 was in Chicago.
What was the tagline?
Yeah. Okay. No, I think let me run through these. 21 was Hollywood. 23 was All Grown Up.
What was the main event of 22? Was that Triple H?
22 Cena? Was, yeah, Triple H Cena was the main event of 22.
There's another big match there. I'm trying to think what it was.
I think it.
That must have been Shawn Vince of 22.
22 had Angle and Lesnar.
So 20, I'm pretty sure the tagline of 20 was 20 years later. 21 was Goes Hollywood, which they recycled for 39.
Yep.
23 was All Grown Up because it was to highlight WrestleMania 3.
I have and like the big attendance. Absolutely no idea. Mike did. No way.
22? Is it something Chicago? It's Dude, big time.
That is actually correct.
I had literally no idea. That is idea. Correct. You sure didn't look at a little Wikipedia for that.
Dude, I just ran through fucking 4 years in a row their taglines. Give me a break.
We'll look at his Google history after this. But
yeah, you're under investigation.
I shockingly remember taglines well. 28 was Once in a Lifetime. 27 was, I think they called it the biggest WrestleMania of all time, which they keep recycling over and over.
Yeah, they say that every year.
Yeah. 38 was the most stupendous. Remember that one?
Oh, God. Stupendous. Yeah. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, Vince learned a new word and was like, this is the greatest word of all time. This is good shit.
All right, so, Dylan, you got a point there. All right,
I'm not watching 2018 Raw, baby.
Well, so far. Got a long way to go.
All right. Is it my turn?
Yep.
All right, Kyle, this is a multiple choice question.
Oh, boy.
The main event of WrestleMania 22... was the WWE Championship match between John Cena and Triple H, as we talked about.
Okay.
Two matches prior to that, the World Heavyweight Championship was on the line. That was the triple threat match. What match was in between the World Heavyweight title and the WWE title? Was it Edge versus Mick Foley? Was it Torrie Wilson versus Candice Michelle? Was it Undertaker versus Mark Henry? Or was it Mickey James versus Trish Stratus?
I know this one.
It had to be a woman's. Because they wouldn't stack the deck there. And I don't think it had to be Torrie Wilson, Candice Michelle. That's the final answer.
So it in fact was Torrie Wilson and Candice Michelle in a Playboy pillow fight.
Was it actually?
Yep.
Wow.
It was a Playboy pillow fight. So you had the World Heavyweight title, and then you had half-dressed people, and then you had the WWE title.
Oh, my God. Edge
and
Mick.
And that was by far the best match of that Mania. Go back and fight me. I don't care.
Yeah, that match was fantastic, but I don't really remember anything.
Oh, and all those.
It was just basically a process of elimination.
Yeah, all those choices, by the way, did happen at WrestleMania 22. I didn't want to make it too hard.
Yeah, I just kind of a process of elimination there, and I eventually got it. But, all right, next one.
All right, Christian.
All right, here we go.
Clean sweep.
All right, which WrestleMania was the first to get onto Blu-ray DVD?
What?
So which WrestleMania was the first to get onto Blu-ray DVD? So from 20 to 39, what WrestleMania had the first Blu-ray DVD?
And this isn't multiple choice.
This isn't multiple choice, but I will give you a hint. I mean, obviously, Blu-ray DVDs have been out for a while. So, I mean, anything, at least 26 and up, probably wouldn't have been it. I'm trying to think of when Blu-ray DVDs were big, so.
I think Blu-rays, like, dropped at around, like, 08, 09.
I'm going to say, I know 25 was for sure, but was that the first? I don't think so. It's either 24 or 23. I'm going to go WrestleMania 23, final answer.
That is unfortunately incorrect. It is WrestleMania 24 you were looking for.
It was between those two.
Oh man, dude, and that gets us every time, man. But yeah, it's a Blu-ray DVD. So I wanted to get something a little different there. A little creativity in the questions. But all right, back to the top. One and one, 0-2. So Christian, hopefully you have a banger for Dylan here.
I do, and it's a 2-point question, actually.
Oh boy.
This is also regarding WrestleMania 22.
Okay.
So Dylan, at WrestleMania 22, what was the shortest match? And how long was it? And I'll give you bonus points if you name the participants.
WrestleMania 22, was that when Big Show and Aki Bono had the sumo wrestling match for 1 minute? Or was it the Playboy pillow fight? That's what I'm debating in my head. When the fuck did Big Show have that sumo fight? Was that 21?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
22. If that match was not on the 22 card, then it's got to be the Playboy pillow fight. It's got to be the pillow fight. Wait. It's 2 points, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So to get 2 points, I have to give the time and the match.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I'm running through the 22 card. So 22 had John Cena, Triple H. That's not happening. World heavyweight title, triple threat. That's not the shortest match. Although it was short. It was like 9.5 minutes. Playboy pillow fight, I think, went for like 6.5. I feel like that's the shortest. I think Boogeyman and that fucking dreaded match was also on 22. Right? Yeah. And it's got to be that one. Boogeyman and Booker T and Charmel. That's the shortest match.
How long did it go for?
I'm going to say under 4 minutes. I'm going to say 3:37.
Ooh, okay. So you got the match wrong. It was Melina versus Ashley for the Divas title. The match time of it though was 3:40. You were very close to the match time. I'd almost give you a half point for that.
Yeah, I'd give a half point for that.
You said 22?
Yeah.
And what was the match?
Melina versus Ashley for the Divas title.
When did that happen?
The Divas title wasn't around at 22.
When did this happen?
It said it was on WrestleMania 22.
Was it like a dark match?
I'm not sure.
Let me look into it real quick. I'm not even seeing it.
Review the footage.
I swear it said WrestleMania 22.
What was the match? It was
Kyle, just look up the WrestleMania 22 card.
Well, I'm not seeing it, but I guess it could have been like a random dark match. So what was the match again?
Melina versus Ashley for the Divas title.
For the Divas title?
I seen it on the wiki page.
Wasn't that 23? I thought that was 23.
Did I completely read something wrong when I was doing this?
So that must have been 23?
Yeah.
It was 23. What was the shortest match at 20? What was the shortest match at 22?
What was the shortest match at 22? That must have been Booker.
I don't know. Look it up.
I swear I saw this before. I might have read something wrong.
Kyle, look at the 22 card.
All right, you know what? It was, but he didn't get the match, so we're gonna give him 1 point. I think this is just the fair way.
Get the match.
Yes, you got the match. You just didn't get the time.
What was the time? Now I'm curious.
All right, let me look.
What did I say, Christian? I said 3:30.
Okay, so that
is what you said.
Okay, so that match did happen at 23, and it was definitely the shortest match by far.
Okay, so I got I read something wrong.
Yeah, so this was 343.
Okay, that's my bad. I wrote down.
I was 6 seconds off.
Yeah,
this was pretty close. We're looking for 5 and under, Dylan. Sorry about that. We're gonna give him 1 point for that.
That's my fault completely. Because what I did when I did these questions, I just typed in WrestleMania, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 facts and stuff and match cards. I must have still been on 23's match card page thinking I was on 22's.
Hey,
because I wrote down 22 in my notebook.
Hey, it happens to the best of us, man. We'll give you a little pass on that one since it's your first.
So I got 2 points?
You got 1 point.
1 point.
No, he's got 2 because he got the other question right, too.
Oh, I thought you meant for this question.
I've got 2 total. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, 2 total.
No, okay, we're good. Okay. All right, don't
So many WrestleMania 22 questions. All right, is this question 3?
Yep.
All right, Kyle. You were at this WrestleMania.
Okay.
Yep.
Who was the backstage interviewer at WrestleMania 25? Was it Matt Stryker? Josh Matthews? Todd Grisham or Jonathan Coachman?
Jonathan Coachman.
So it was Grisham. So it was Grisham. It was Coachman. Who were the first two?
Matthews and Stryker.
I don't ever remember seeing Stryker there. Dude, I don't remember actually seeing any of these guys there. I know it wasn't Stryker, and I don't remember Coachman. So I'm down to...
So it leaves you Matthews and Grisham.
I literally have no idea.
I know who it is.
I'm just going to go... I'm just going to go Todd Grisham, final answer.
Todd Grisham is correct.
Yep.
So Kyle's got 2 points now.
That was out of my ass.
I better start reviewing May 18th.
Yeah, you better fire up.
I'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, we're gonna be firing up because it is a 2-2 now. So all right, Christian, ready for my next one?
Not really, but
all right. What match at WrestleMania 29 was canceled by time restraints?
Oh. I know this one.
Yep, this is actually a pretty easy one because this actually did make the headlines like the day after.
Canceled by time restraints.
And I'll give you a hint. There was 8 people involved. It definitely made its round, so I don't think it's impossible, this question.
Was that... No, that's too late for the core and Nexus thing.
Dylan's group, the core.
That's the first thing I went to is the core and Nexus. That's too late. That's way too late.
That's usually what I do, too. First thing I go to is the core. Best faction of all time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to think of that card because that was the year after Rock and Cena had match 2. So it's not that card.
WrestleMania 29?
Yeah, because Rock and Cena was at 27 and 28.
Mm,
no,
was it?
No, I am wrong. Okay, I'm wrong. That's right, yeah. And them two had like a 45-minute match or something stupid like that. That's where The Rock, like, what do you do, tear his hamstring or something?
Yeah, I think his hamstring or his quad. Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Push back filming, that's when producers got mad that he wrestled again.
That's right, yeah. But it was a. So you said it's an 8-man. So I'm either going to a fatal 4-way tag match with 4 teams, or I'm going to an 8-man tag match that's 4-on-4. Around that time, my thought is a fatal 4-way tag team match.
Okay.
I assume I'd have to name all the tag teams. I would assume the Usos would be one of them.
Okay.
What tag teams were at 29? That shows how bad that tag division was, by the way. Were the Rhodes Scholars a thing yet? Okay, I'm going to say the Usos, Rhodes Scholars. No, that's too soon for the bar. Yeah, that's way too soon. God, Jesus Christ. Usos, Scholars. Oh, my God.
Stupid.
That's pre-New Day, too. I don't know. I can name two. The Usos, Scholars. I cannot remember the tag division that was happening at that time.
All right. So, it was 4v4. And you actually did get the Rhodes Scholars.
Yep.
So the Rhodes Scholars were in there. They teamed with the Bellas, I believe. Yep. And they beat Tons of Funk, Lord Tenzai, and Brodus Clay. And the Funkadactyls.
I forgot about that tag team.
Yes. That match was canceled from WrestleMania.
Well, thank God.
Yeah, so, thank God.
You know what I'm going to do? I am going to give Christian a quarter of a point because he did he did get one or two of the guys. So I'm going to give him a quarter of a point.
Quarter of a point. All right, so it's 2-2 and 0.25.
And 0.25, yep. All right, fourth question. Remember, Christian still has his two-pointer. So,
yeah, that is true.
So, he can make things. He could win off of it. Who knows? But all right, Christian, go ahead.
Hit a little buzzer beater. But Dylan, on the night of WrestleMania 37, on night two, who sang "America the Beautiful"? This is multiple choice, by the way.
Okay.
Was it A. Allo Black, B. Ashlyn Kraft, C. Tinashe, or D. Yolanda Adams?
God. I've only heard one of those names in my lifetime, and it's Allo Black. And it wasn't Allo Black. What were the other three other than Allo Black? Give me those names again.
B. Ashlyn Kraft, C. Tinashe, or D. Yolanda Adams?
I'm going to say Yolanda Adams. Final answer.
That would be incorrect.
That's stupid.
The answer was B, Ashlyn Kraft.
See, she was my second guess.
I don't even know who that is.
Never heard those names.
I didn't either, to be honest. I just found it on the wiki page. I was like, yeah, that seems like a good question. I'm sure Dylan would know that.
All right.
I didn't.
Yeah. So, all right. Your next question.
All right, Kyle. Who took the pin in the Legacy Triple Threat match at WrestleMania 26?
Oh,
we watched this. Okay.
Yes, we reviewed it.
Yep.
DiBiase, final answer.
DiBiase is correct.
Yes, sir. Okay, we watched that one. So,
Do you remember the full finish? How it all went down?
Was the Crossroads and RKO like followed? Like, was that the last sequence?
So what happened was Cody got punted and Ted got RKO'd.
Oh.
So Randy just took them both out.
And DiBiase just so happened to take the pin. Which, hindsight 2020, looking at it now, good.
Long-term storytelling. That's how you protect Cody.
Yeah. They've really protected Cody over the years with that one.
Yeah. But yeah, so Kyle is leading 3-2 to a quarter.
0.25. All right. So let's see if Christian can get a point here. But it's a tough question. So let's see if he can get it.
I bet it is.
Who won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania 26? And who did he eliminate to win?
It can't be 26. It wasn't around in 26. Because the first winner was Antonio Cesaro, and he wasn't in WWE at the time.
Yeah, now it's 29.
I'm looking at it right now, sir.
It might have been a battle royal, but it wasn't the Andre Battle Royal.
Let me fact check myself here. I don't wanna get too great.
Yeah, because I remember Antonio Cesaro being the first winner, and he wasn't around at that time.
Oh, sorry, it was just a battle royal. My bad. Okay. It was just a battle royal. And also, I do want to say that Kaelin Croft and Kung Fu Naki were in this match, and it was not those two.
Kung Fu Naki.
Kalen Croft.
And this wasn't all men's battle royale.
He ran around with Trent Beretta, didn't he? Weren't they the Dude Busters?
And also Tyler Rex was also in this match, but he did not win either, so I'm going to give you a pass there. But okay, so who won and who did he eliminate?
Who won and who? This is my two-pointer, too.
So no, this is just a one-er. It's just a one. Okay. So a half point, half point.
Oh, okay, okay. This was probably in place of an Intercontinental title match that could have happened.
This was on the pre-show.
Oh, great. So I didn't even watch it.
No, you did not watch it.
I was trying to sit here and think, like, let me see if I can remember watching.
So who is relevant around WrestleMania 26?
Yeah, because it would have been somebody relevant that got snubbed from the card, probably. It was probably a big dude.
I will give you a hint. This guy who won meant nothing.
I know who it was.
I got a name in mind. I just don't know.
Say it. You know you want to. You know who it is.
Yoshitatsu, final answer.
Who do you eliminate?
The sad thing is, it's probably somebody relevant who he eliminated. Okay, so I'm thinking like mid-card, something like that. Did he eliminate? I'm going to guess Zack Ryder.
You're right on the money. Yoshitatsu did win the 26-man Battle Royal and he eliminated Zack Ryder. Some of the other names, Primo, Slam Master J, Vladimir Kozlov, Jimmy Wang Yang, Vance Archer, Tyler Rex, and Tino Morella. So this was a
stacked field.
So that is a point. So 3-2 to 1.25. We got a ball game here, boys.
Let's go.
Making a comeback.
We got a ball game. So question 5. Back up to Christian.
All right, Dylan. This should be a layup. What title was up for grabs at WrestleMania 30's pre-show? Just straight up.
WrestleMania 30 pre-show.
What title was up for grabs?
Has to be United States title. Just has to be the United States title. United States title, final answer.
So you are wrong. Fuck. It was the tag team titles.
Dude.
Who was tag team champion at WrestleMania 30?
Usos.
What the fuck? We put them on the pre-show? Stupid.
That is stupid.
Who was U.S. champion in 20?
And
how'd that fucker not make the pre-show? Oh, he's probably left off the card. That's why.
Oh my god, dude! I'm trying to think who was the U.S. champion at that time.
Damn, it was the tag titles. Stupid.
All right. Well, I didn't know that either. So, no points for Dylan there. All right, Dylan. Question 5 for
you. I
still got a chance. All right, Kyle. Question number 5. This is your 2-point question, by the way.
No, this is not going to be right.
All right. So, first, it's going to be 2 multiple choice questions, technically.
Into one.
Once you get past the first round, once you give me an answer for the first round, then I'll give you the answers for the second. All right?
Okay. Yep, got you. Yep.
All right. What was the longest match bell-to-bell at WrestleMania 33? Was it Shane versus AJ? Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles? Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker? Or Seth Rollins versus Triple H? And once you give me an answer here, then we'll move on to match times.
I'm just going to go. I don't think it was The Undertaker because. What was the first one?
Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles.
I don't think it would have been that kicked off, so I don't think they would have kept that like 25 minutes. I don't think it was The Undertaker. Process of elimination, I'm just going to go Rollins Triple H.
Okay. And the match times, was it 20 minutes and 35 seconds, 23 minutes even, or 25 minutes, 30 seconds?
23.
So you got the match right. Okay. It was Seth Rollins versus Triple H. However, you got the match time wrong. Seth Rollins versus Triple H ran for 25 minutes and 30 seconds in an unsanctioned match.
How long did Taker Roman go?
Taker and Roman went 23 even.
And then wow. Styles McMahon went
Styles left. Styles and AJ was the shortest match of those three with 20 minutes and 35 seconds.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that right, brother. Absolutely no way.
Hey, but you got a point. You got the match right.
I guess I did get a point. So,
yeah, so you made the most of your two pointer at least.
Absolutely. All right. So Christian, are you ready?
Yep.
All right. There was a match at a WrestleMania that was so bad that Vince McMahon literally told this person to their face it was the worst match they've ever seen in 60 years of watching wrestling. So, I will give you a little bit of a hint. It was between 25 and 30.
Worst match he's ever seen. Like, did he say this?
He said it to the person, it to their face after it ended.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
God, that's still. There's been some bad WrestleMania matches. 25. Let me think of 25's match card really quick. I'm gonna try to process this by match card. 25. The only bad match I could think of was that.
It has to be stupid. Really bad.
Well, for Vince standards, what is really bad?
If it's bad,
he probably wasn't. Bad. He probably wasn't a fan of Taker and Shawn at 25.
Yeah, or 26.
To pro wrestling.
Yeah. I'm also just trying to think of which WrestleMania was the worst because it was probably something on there.
It's probably Cody Seth at 38.
Yeah, that was
he probably hated that match too.
That was just awful. That sucked. I know he wouldn't tell Cena anything he did was bad, so I'm eliminating anything Cena did. God, there's so many to choose from. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go that stupid women's battle royal at 25 where Santina Marella won.
So that is unfortunately incorrect. So the match was Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler with Stone Cold Steve Austin as a special guest referee. And Vince literally went to Michael Cole's face and said, "This was the worst match I've ever seen in my life."
What did he expect?
It also went, do you guys know that match went almost 14 minutes?
Yeah, went on way too long.
Was this 27?
Yeah.
27 was a freaking snoozer. And then the
anonymous general manager reversed the decision.
What was there? I'm trying to think. Was there
so originally
two, three good matches on that card?
At 27?
It was Orton Punk was pretty good, I think.
Orton Punk was great.
Triple H Undertaker.
Triple H Undertaker stole the show.
There was a mid-card. And, there was a mid-card. Was
Cody, Cody and Ray had a really good match. It went about 12 minutes.
I think that's it, right? Because that it opened with Del Rio Edge, which wasn't anything special.
Which wasn't that great.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to the sixth and final. So let's get end with it, boys. Christian, back to you.
Yeah, I was about to say this is my last question. So after this, I'm kind of screwed. Yep. But Dylan, at WrestleMania 21, not including the Money in the Bank ladder match. So besides that match alone, what was the only other match that had a stipulation at 21? And by the way, I will give you one bonus point if you guess the people in it.
WrestleMania 21. So, all right. Let's run through WrestleMania 21's card. That was Cena, JBL. That was just for the title. It was Batista, Triple H. That was just for the title. There was Orton, Orton and Taker. That was just for the streak. I don't think there... No, there wasn't a stipulation there. This had to be the card that Aki Bono and Big Show, but that's just a sumo match. I don't think you'd consider that a stipulation. What else was on that fucking card? WrestleMania 21. Is it the sumo match? Is that considered a stipulation? I don't think so. No. No, it can't be a stipulation. Dude, I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. I'm gonna say the sumo match just because it's not a traditional like pro wrestling match, but I don't think that's right. But that's all I got.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct.
And it's Aki Bono and Big Show.
You are correct. That is it. I was sitting there the whole time like he's literally saying the answer, but he's thinking it's not it.
I didn't know if you consider that a stipulation, but all right, I'll take it.
I did because, I mean, it's not a normal match.
Fair.
So I consider it a stipulation, but yeah, you got it right. That's all two right. points. So
all 2
right.
points. Oh, dude, I got 4. Kyle and I are tied.
Wait. Oh, that was your 2? I thought Christian already did his 2-point question.
No. His 1 point was for just name the stipulation. I said I'd give him an extra if he named the competitors in it.
Gotcha.
So he gets 2 points there.
All right. Well,
bitch.
If Christian can get this right, I might just have to bump him up to 4, and we do a
winner take all.
Yeah, we do a winner take all because this is a tough one for mine. But let's see if I can get Dylan's last one.
All right, Kyle. Aside from it being inside Hell in a Cell, what stipulation was added to Shane McMahon versus Undertaker at WrestleMania 32? Oh,
I know this one.
So it took place inside the cell, but there was something else added.
I know this one. I know exactly what this one is.
It must have been Streak
versus Leaving the Brand.
I'm going to say Streak versus Leaving his brand, like Shane leaving this brand, final answer.
So that is incorrect. So at the time of 32, Undertaker's streak was already over. The stipulation added to it was per Vince McMahon, if Shane McMahon beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, Shane McMahon got full control of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
I do not.
And apparently there was another stipulation that if Shane beat Undertaker would not wrestle at WrestleMania. However, I did not find confirmation if that actually happened, and I do not remember it happening. So I just ran with the one.
Well, Taker won that match, didn't he?
Yes, Taker did win. Yeah. So Shane did not get control of Raw. All right. Although he did, because Vince apparently was proud of him and made him the general manager of Raw.
Yeah, wasn't that for like one night, though?
No, Shane was the general manager for a while until they did the brand split and he moved to SmackDown.
Oh, I thought that was just for one night.
Because then Stephanie took over Raw.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
I'm going to be honest. Do not remember any of that. So 32? Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess the streak would have been over. Yep. Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Dude, no. sorry about that one. All right. Christian's last one here.
We'll call it 2.75.
So if he can get this,
all right.
he's going to win. So this is for two points. Or 2.75. Yep. Yeah. There was two matches. Or sorry. There was two WrestleManias that Dave Meltzer graded the worst wrestling show of the year. Which two WrestleManias were they? So remember, it's from 20 to 40. There's two WrestleManias that were the two worst of the year in that respective year.
I feel like one of them is pretty easy. I don't know what the second one is.
This is your big one.
I think WrestleMania 27 is one of them.
Okay.
Oh. There's like three I'm debating because they're. I don't think he would have rated 36 the worst just because of everything involved and everything that had to happen for that show just happened in general. I mean, at least I would think. I kind of gave 36 a pass myself just because that was just chaotic. WrestleMania 38 was pretty bad. But I don't think he would have called it the worst. Because Meltzer was a little bit of a Vince guy, kind of.
Was he?
He doesn't love Triple H if you've seen his tweets. He doesn't love him. I'll just say that.
But he does rate his matches pretty high. I will give that.
That is true. So 39 is out of the question. 38 was pretty bad. 37 wasn't too great either.
This is the worst wrestling show of the year, so it had to be bad.
Yeah. Can I at least know if I'm right on 27?
You are.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that's the given.
Yeah.
27 is very bad. Oh, my God. Oh, I think I know what the other one is.
It's not 30. I know that. It's not 30.
30 can't is be, good.
Can't be 31 just because of the cash-in. It can't be.
Yeah, 31 was great. Great ending.
32 wasn't great, but I don't think it was awful. It was 32 was okay. I'm going to say WrestleMania 35, the year before the pandemic.
Unfortunately, that answer is incorrect. So you damn, were right
gotta
on
be,
27. Got to
be 26.
And the other one was WrestleMania 32, was the worst wrestling show of the year.
32 so was bad.
I don't even remember what 32 was.
32 had all the wrong winners. That was Sasha, Charlotte, Becky, Triple Threat.
Who should have won?
Charlotte won. I think Sasha should have won.
Yeah.
Because that would have been Sasha's first, yeah, I believe.
That's right.
Wait, you think that Triple H should have beat Roman?
No, but that the fans just didn't want that match. Period. So yeah, it was hijacked from the start. It was just a chorus of
well,
the entire
that,
time.
That was the one that Corbin won, right? Corbin won
32,
the...
yeah.
So that wasn't bad. So that must have been... I mean, Styles should have won, obviously.
Yeah, Styles should have beaten Jericho.
I don't remember anything else.
Taker beat filler. Shane. I guess you can flip a coin there because Taker's streak was over, so it's not like he needed the win.
Yeah, Shane
he's still
did.
The Undertaker. Well, I mean, they basically did let Shane win. He fucking took over Raw anyway.
Yeah,
what's
so...
the point?
Was
they
it
just
Rock
wanted the Undertaker
show?
To not lose again. He appeared for briefly and then beat Rowan in 6 seconds.
I remember that one, yeah.
And then Cena showed up randomly.
Of course.
Yeah, 32 was just an odd card. Just a lot of the wrong winners.
Yeah.
See, I didn't think 32 was awful. Like, as far as, like, in-ring quality went.
I'm sure the Triple Threat Women's was definitely the best on that show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Jericho Styles just had the wrong winner. But, and then Ryder, as much as we like the moment, Ryder.
Shouldn't have happened.
No. Owens was the champion, right? So Owens should have just retained.
No.
32?
Or should have Zayn won?
Goldberg
Zayn
should have
won.
Owens for the title the pay-per-view before. And then faced
No, you're talking about 33.
Oh.
Because 33 was KO and Jericho for the United States because that was the consolation prize because they fucking took the title off Kevin Owens.
Okay, yeah. You're right.
32. Who did go in as IC champion? Was it
that was
Miz?
Owens. That was Owens. He was
IC champion going in?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember Owens being IC champion.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. I think who else was in? It was Stardust Miz Sin Cara? Was he in there? I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Sin Cara was in there.
But yeah, so that is it for the trivia. I think it was a very big success.
But unfortunately, I will be taking over AEW next week as Christian will go back and watch May 21st, 2018.
That's more a punishment for you, honestly.
Oof, yeah, dude, that would have been...
I'd rather review the old Raw.
What?
I said I'd rather review the old Raw than fucking AEW.
Yeah, I know. That's
kind of a coin flip.
I mean, I don't remember anything on that episode, but man, I'm excited to hear what Christian has for next week. But I think we can all agree this was a lot of fun, and maybe we'll bring this back again for another big one. Maybe like SummerSlam or something like that.
Hell yeah.
So that is it for that segment. But all right, Dylan, dummy ammo of the week, what you got?
All right, so we kind of talked about this briefly before we went on air, but for everyone else, my dummy moment this week goes to Tony Khan. So during a AEW Revolution media call, company CEO and president Tony Khan revealed that both Miro and Keith Lee were supposed to be part of the now canceled Meat Madness match as part of the Revolution card. When asked about why they weren't, he said that Miro was not currently available, and therefore the match was canceled. Miro went on Twitter and was like, this is a quote, "I've been injured since September, and I got medical attention in January. Sorry he wasn't aware of it."
And then
people made a joke because right after that tweet, Miro said, "Watch Revolution, very excited, should be a great show," and everyone's like, Daniel Bryan must have gotten back on the, or Bryan Danielson. Jeez, I've been watching too many WrestleManias lately. Anyway, Tony Khan isn't aware of what wrestlers are healthy on his own roster. And if Miro needed some sort of medical attention, that means whatever he's got going on right now is somewhat serious. You'd think the CEO and creative director and whatever of this company would know a relatively big name on their roster has not been around since September. And he should know why, right?
No.
Anyway, that's just Tony Khan being Tony Khan.
Yeah, that is Tony Khan. I'm not surprised. I did hear about this story. This whole match is just the very
meat madness.
Yes.
It's a lot of meat slapping.
Well, no, this was changed into an all-star scramble.
Yeah.
So, like, Jericho's in it, and Hook is in it, and Brand Cage is in it.
Just the guys on the card.
It's Dylan, can you tell me what has Lance Archer done to potentially get a match against Samoa Joe for the world title?
What? Is that what's on the line in this match?
Yeah, the winner gets a world title shot.
I didn't know the winner got a world title match. I thought Lance was Archer throwing was a bunch in. Of big guys together.
No.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
I mean, at least there's some stake.
I don't even think he knows what's going on.
No, it's literally just to get guys on the card. And also what this means, Miro is going to be answering that phone call from Mr. Levesque as soon as that contract is out. He is good as gone.
I think this cemented that.
Miro, Buddy Matthews, Malakai, Ricky Starks, Soho, and Soraya, good as gone. All six of them, gone. In my honest opinion. But I think all of them are heading back to WWE, and I think Sheamus goes to AEW. But that's just my couple hot takes there. But all right, Christian, what do you got?
All right, so half my dumb moment will always go to Tony Khan. The other half just goes to AEW in general. This build to Revolution has been super lackluster, and I am not looking forward to the card so much that I will not even be purchasing it. I will check the highlights and the match results a day after, but I am not going on my way to watch this live. A lot of the matches just do not intrigue me, and I don't feel a need to watch it just because of how poorly built this card has truly been. So that's my dumb moment this week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to look at the AEW Revolution card. I don't really think I care about a ton of these matches. They have done a pretty good job with the world title. They did a really good job with Sting. They did an okay job with the women's. But so the All-Star Scramble match right now is Jericho, What has he done for a world title shot? Wardlow, what's he done for a world title shot? Hobbs, what's he done for a world title shot? Archer, what's he done for a world title shot? Hook, kind of makes sense. He's did the Joe stuff. What has Brian Cage done for a world title shot? Magnus, what has Magnus done? I don't even know who that is. What has Magnus done to get into a world title shot? And what has Dante Martin done to get a world title shot?
I don't know.
And then what do you think of Cage and Garcia? Because they're definitely holding off on the Copeland Cage. Do you think Garcia wins the title and they just do Cage and Copeland non-title?
I hope not.
So I don't know if it needs the title, though. I mean,
yeah.
I think
Copeland has kind of simmered down a little bit.
But I think they could do a title match and a ladder match, though. That'd be pretty cool.
No, 100%.
They have fumbled Edge.
There is one thing that needs to happen at Revolution. Roderick Strong, 1,000,000% needs to beat Orange Cassidy for that title. Dude, can you imagine if he does not win? Dude, I would just break up the whole faction.
Does it matter at this point with that title?
I mean, they've ruined it, but there's some quality here. I think the matches are going to be great, but the stories coming in, coming out are going to be, you know. Oh, also, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang is facing Jeff Jarrett, Satnam Singh, Jay Lethal, Willie Mack, and Private Party and on the pre-show.
Why?
I don't know.
Because why not, brother?
I love Willie Mack, but what's he got to do with Jeff Jarrett? Anyway, so I'll get into mine real quick. So mine goes to TNA. So this is something that Dylan and I specifically have complained about for a while. So at No Surrender, which actually turned out to be a pretty solid show, there's a certain title change that I completely disagreed with. In the main event, Mustafa Ali defeated Chris Sabin to win the X Division title. Sabin's title reign was around 5 months long and was very intriguing. Listen, Ali winning the title isn't the issue. It's how quick he did it. Remember, the Iconics on their first night, they won the tag team titles. Ali wins the X Division title on his first appearance or first of, one or two? I just don't understand why we're pushing these ex-WWE wrestlers to win so quickly in TNA. Let's develop stories. Look what they're doing with Nick Nemeth. They're booking him super well because even though he hasn't won the title, he's involved in the main event scene, which makes him an instant star without the title. So TNA, stop booking these ex-WWE wrestlers to win titles on their first major appearance because it devalues the title and who carries it beforehand, though.
Yeah, I mean, we said it about the Iconics. We said it. Dude, it happened recently.
It did.
Naomi won the title very, very fast.
Trendy. Yep.
Yeah. And now Mustafa. And that's not saying that we don't think any of those people should have been champion down the line. But, like, first day, it does diminish your current roster. If you're just bringing in this person, this free agent, instantly giving them the title. And I'm not saying that Ali is going to be a bad champion. I think he will be a good champion. I just would have liked to see more of a struggle, more of a feud, more of a build-up. Like, yeah, he can show up. He can say his intentions, but, like, you don't have to put him in the title right away. Remember, WWE, when they brought back Cody Rhodes, he had the match against Rollins, and then the next night on Raw, he was like, I want to be WWE champion. But they didn't put him in a WWE title match right away. He finished the story that he finished the story that was going at the moment, unfortunately got hurt, but I don't think Cody would have gone straight from Rollins to a WWE title feud. There would have been a build-up. There would have been more stories to tell, and that's what TNA needs to do.
Yeah. They're doing a good job with Nemeth, though.
Yeah.
In the whole movie.
So is fucking New Japan.
New Japan is really suffering right now. New Japan's probably the worst it's been in a very, very long time. And most of it's due to AEW taking their whole roster. But
Nemeth is having a great time.
They're just not top-heavy anymore. They can't rely on the Okadas, the Ospreys, the Ibushis, the Tanahashis anymore. And Tanahashi's getting old news.
But we wanted them to do that, right? We wanted them to bring
100%, but you need a couple guys to kind of
headline the problem whole show. The problem is they didn't do enough building the rest of the roster.
So they're not ready.
In case they lost those guys. Yep. Mm-hmm. So
like Sonata's still kind of considered a big Carter, in my opinion. They're doing stuff with Jack Perry. See, Jack Perry's
David Finlay should be doing some bigger picture stuff, hopefully soon.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. But, that is very interesting for TNA. Any thoughts, Christian, before we move on?
They always pick up these WWE guys. And obviously, you know, WWE guys have big name value. I mean, when you wrestle for the biggest company in the world, whether it's under Vince or Triple H, it was always the biggest wrestling company in the world. They got big name value. They try to push it. I understand, but I mean, give us a reason to care first.
Absolutely.
Build them up.
Absolutely. But all right, Dylan, can you tell everyone what we're doing next week and get us out of here?
We're back on the TakeOver train, right?
Yep. TakeOver San Antonio.
Yeah. NXT TakeOver San Antonio. So our celebration of black and gold continues next week. Christian is in for a treat with San Antonio. This took place
in San Antonio?
At the same time, I believe, as the same weekend as the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
First time they were at the Alamo
Dome. This was the first TakeOver in 2017.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're right at the start of 2017. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff coming.
Yeah, so I'm very excited for that. And we will catch everyone next week. Got a lot of stuff on the way. And again, we appreciate everyone listening to this point. And we are on the road to tomorrow's AEW Revolution, which should be a fantastic wrestling show. But if you want story, maybe just go WWE for that one.
Yeah, go watch WWE. Yeah.